So it's actually Friday evening. Normally I say, hey, it's Friday, but it's Friday evening. You're listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue, and this is the Teach Computing podcast that goes out on Friday every week. It is Friday. Yeah, I had to think for a moment. And I'm at this is the Friday evening of the Computing at School conference in Birmingham. And I've just arrived at the bit where we kind of network before we go off to a teach meet. And this is a great chance to meet great people. And already I'm here for 30 seconds and I've met a great person. Who are you?
Hello, Alan. my name's Nicholas Tolovey, and I'm a Python developer. So I earn my living writing Python code.
So you're not a teacher?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because in a previous life I was a teacher. I was a secondary head of music. For various reasons that we'll skim over, I decided to leave teaching and go into computing. And so I earn my living writing software for people like The Guardian, the NHS, investment banks, things like that, but all in Python, which I believe is looming large on people's radars at the moment if you're a teacher.
It's becoming amazingly popular. I think this is the sixth Computing at School conference that I've been at. I missed the first one because I didn't know there was a thing called computing.
Yep.
When I came to the second one, I heard about it a week before and came here. And I was at that point where I was thinking, I know I'm going to have to learn how to program, but which programming language? And I spent the whole of that conference going around asking people. And one teacher said, well, I've got a child in my class who's taught himself Python. Mm. And I thought, well, if that child's taught himself Python, maybe I might have a chance.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just, what's the word? It's exponential growth.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And so, why do you think Python, you know, if you could use three words or 30 seconds to try and extol the great virtues of Python?
Okay, so the three words I would guess are it's easy, it's simple, and it's powerful.
Easy.
Yes.
Oh, shame on you. I really wish you'd, I thought you were going to mention readability.
Well, it's easy to read. Okay. It's easy to do lots of things with Python. So, So it's a proper computer programming language rather than something that's just been cobbled together for educational purposes. So people like Google, so YouTube, for example, is built in Python. NASA, Disney, you use Python every day when you visit lots and lots of very popular websites. So it's a proper programming language used by proper programmers doing proper programmery sort of things. It's easy to read, as you say. It's simple because it comes batteries included, as they say. So if you want to do something, somebody's probably written a module that lets you do that already. If you want to fly a quadcopter, there's a quadcopter module for it. And last year at PyCon UK, which we'll come on to soon, yeah, we had a teacher work with some Python developers, and they had this crazy quadcopter being controlled from within Minecraft, all glued together with Python. And he's gone on since and used that in his lessons. And
I'm going to push you back a few steps.
Okay, go on then.
When you mentioned quadcopters,
yeah,
and we were talking about the real world potential of Python.
Yes,
it is useful to have things like Lego and Scratch, where you could build a model of a helicopter using a set of Lego. You could build a model of a helicopter in Scratch.
Yeah,
but the thing, if we stick with that metaphor,
yeah,
if you build the equivalent of a helicopter in Python, it actually flies, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
And that, to me, I've always thought is amazing potential. You said the third one you chose was power.
Yeah.
That if you build something in Python and it works in the way it's intended,
yeah,
it's actually something that has lots of power.
Well, let me give you an example. This afternoon, just as part of my job, I was provisioning servers on the west coast of the United States to do something or other, and that was all done with a little Python script that I'd written. And I had a colleague who was also a Python guy who was working elsewhere in the world, and together we were collaborating through a tool written in Python that allowed us to do all this crazy stuff. So you're quite right. Python's powerful. It lets you do things.
The other thing that really appeals to me as well, sorry, I know this is talking about me now.
No problem.
The other thing that is a real selling point for me is the fact that Python is governed by, a board. Is it the Python Software Foundation?
That's correct, yes.
And almost like a school is. And in a school, the governors, they're not employed by the school. They're there in a voluntary capacity because they have a vested interest in seeing that school succeed.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great selling points, I think, about Python, is the fact that it's also governed and led by volunteers. And because of this kind of grassroots nature,
yeah,
if I think, do you know what, I was doing something with some teachers today that we were adding integers, we were multiplying integers, and every time we got integers, but then we divided it, and we got floating point number. And you might say, what? And if you wanted, if you thought that was wrong, you could go and campaign to the PSF and say, we think that's wrong. We think that you need to change that. And they may listen to you after 2 or 3 years of campaigning. But you still know that you can actually influence and change Python.
So Python is free software. And not only does that mean it's free to use, but it's free in that you're free to get the source code and contribute, which is, I think, what you're talking about. So the PSF, of which I'm a member, is the legal entity that owns the intellectual property that is the Python programming language. And Python is created by volunteers. So if you do want to affect the way Python is going to develop in the future, then get stuck in. And that doesn't just mean that you need to be a programmer. You can write documentation. You can campaign, for example. You can be a community organizer and get people together with PUGs, Python user groups, and so on and so forth.
So when you mentioned community then, that, I think that's also a great feature of Python, the community.
Yes.
And I know in the US, the community is very, very active. It's a huge community. And when they have their conferences, the PyCon conference, because play on the word Python that one of the things they've been very keen to do is not just the governance of Python, making sure we do that, but how can Python, as a language, how can it meet the needs of its community? And they're looking for ways that they can, you know, they're very active in education, for example, and they want to support that in different ways.
Exactly. So a good way in which so the PSF gives out grants. And so one of the ways in which the PSF is helping to promote education is that they've given us $7,000 for the Python UK organisation, which, again, I'm a member, who organised the PyCon UK conference, which is happening in September. That $7,000 is so that we can pay for student and NQT teachers to come along and attend our education track. So that's full.
Already?
We've apart from one place.
Oh, no.
If you're an NQT or a student teacher and you'd like to come along, I guess Alan will have my details somewhere. Yeah. Come and contact me.
At NTOLL on Twitter.
Yes,
NTOLL.
Exactly. That's correct. Yeah. And you can find out details at pyconuk.org/education.
So when you say it's full...
Yes, that's for student teachers.
Ah, for student teachers.
Yes, okay. So there are various strands going on at PyCon UK this year. The thing that I'm helping out with, obviously being a former teacher, is to help teaching colleagues who are coming to Python to get involved with the Python community and come along to PyCon UK. So we have Bank of America, who have very, very generously supported us to the tune of about £7,000.
That's a bit more than $7,000.
And what they are doing is paying for the places for 20 teachers to come along. When we've run the education track before in the past, the sort of complaints that we've heard are, well, yeah, I could probably cover the cost of the ticket, but I've got to convince my school. And that's going to cost a lot more money because, we need to have a supply teacher and so on and so forth. So Bank of America, the sponsorship from them has allowed us to say, well, for the first 20 teachers who sign up, we're going to donate £200 back to your school to cover the cost of you to attend on the Friday, Friday the 19th of September. That there shouldn't really be any excuse for your school to say no, because we've got you covered literally with cover. The cost of the actual ticket for the whole conference, if you are a teacher, is £47, which, to put that in context, the current standard ticket is £150, and it'll be rising in a couple of weeks to £200.
Right. Gosh.
And that's for the whole conference, not just the teacher's day.
So would you be expecting teachers to pay this £47 out of their own hard-earned salary? Or?
Well, if they could get support from the school, that would obviously be ideal. But we wanted to... Part of the deal was that we needed to have some sort of pay ticket. The ticket needed to be paid for in some way, so we couldn't just give them away. But we thought £47—it's something that you could possibly pay for yourself, and you get a day of professional training with such people as the Raspberry Pi Foundation education team. Some master teachers are turning up to give some context about how they've used Python. We've got some roboticists turning up, and they have these amazing £10,000 robots that they're bringing along. They're bringing seven of them, so teachers will be able to play with those if they can get them from the Python programmers, who are going to be all over them like a rash. And we have 350 of the UK's top Python programmers going to be there.
So I've been for the last two or three years, something like that. There was 1 year where, we'll talk about that another time. All I can say is I made myself known amongst the Python community, but it may not be the best way to make yourself known.
But the interesting thing about that, though, is that, and I'm not going to spill the beans as to what Alan actually did, but the Python community are a very forgiving community, and Alan's been welcomed with open arms to Python since then. And we look on from the technical community at the work that Alan and the rest of the teaching colleagues do in the state sector, and we're pretty much amazed at the hard work and the graft and everything that you put in. So anything that we can do in the Python community to help out, well, that's what we're trying to do with PyCon UK.
So the thing I was going to say next was that I remember in the previous times I'd been there, the very first time, it felt to me like I was the only teacher, like high school teacher there.
Yeah.
And when I arrived, I suddenly thought, there's all these words like sprint and dojos, and it was like you were told people were talking another language.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get over how much I took, because I was only there on one day. I went on the Saturday, and I couldn't believe how much I came away with afterwards.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, one of the sessions, the very first session I took part in, is emblazoned on my memory. It was a dojo that you ran. And, and at that point, you were running, I think, the London Python Coder Dojo.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And I gosh, this is an amazing idea. I could take this back and use it in the classroom. And I use it all the time. And not only am I using it in the classroom now, but I'm using it with other teachers. So today, I ran a training session for 10 teachers in Stoke, and we ran a dojo in it.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that developers are using in their everyday work and outside of work that actually transfer very, very easily to the classroom.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I'm going to be talking in September to some teachers. Shall we move where we're away from the talking?
Yeah, let's move away. We're just recording a podcast live with 20 million listeners at the moment. Okay, we'll catch up with you in a moment.
See, it's so busy here. Lots of people networking. So what was I going to say? Yes, so I'm going to be talking to some teachers about how you might use agile methodology and scrum boards and things in September in Warwickshire, which is going to be a lot of fun. So there are lots of things that you can do as a software developer that teachers could come along and have a look at and learn from developers. But likewise, I also think it's important that developers learn from teachers, because having been a teacher, I know that teachers are the sorts of people who get up and they get stuff done, and they don't mind standing up in front of a bunch of people and getting people organized and telling them what to do. It's all the sort of good classroom practice that you do. And the thing is that developers have this reputation for being a bit quiet and nerdy and geeky, and it's a beautiful thing to behold when a bunch of teachers get together with developers. All of a sudden you've got a bunch of really proactive people in a room with people who know about technology, and they get them organized, and wonderful things happen. It's a wonderful thing to see.
Wonderful is a wonderful word to use, because I've just remembered now, the second year I went, I encouraged Carrie-Anne Philbin to come.
Yep.
And we had an education track on the Friday, I think it was.
Yeah.
And there's an interesting kind of crossover, because you have teachers who are kind of going, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to start, I don't know how to do this. And then you have developers saying, you know what you need to do? You need to be teaching object-oriented programming right from, like, And you kind of have teachers who maybe are a little bit humble about what they can actually achieve.
Yeah.
And then you have developers who overestimate what children are capable of. But then you have this kind of fight.
Negotiation period.
Right. Yes. Yeah, not a fight. But then after that, once the dust settles, it's like, everything ends up working together. Yeah.
And so that session, the interesting thing about that session is that we had five or six workshops come out of that. So these were educational resources. A teacher was in each of the groups. I think you were in the group. We wrote an adventure game, didn't we? So we did an adventure game. We've done that again since Carrie Anne came along to the London Dojo. And she basically took over the dojo for the evening. It was, again, another wonderful thing to behold. But she had 30 developers, and they all went away, and they all produced something that could be used in a classroom under her guidance. So that's another, I guess, feature of PyCon UK, is that you have, puppy-like enthusiastic developers who really want to help out teachers. And if teachers want to network with developers, or they want to learn some wrinkles or skills from developers, PyCon UK is a very friendly place to come along.
So today is the 20th of June.
Yeah.
And I know that there's some teachers who are right now marking exam papers, mm-hmm. writing reports.
Yeah.
And they probably won't hear this till
the
end of August or the 12th of September or the 18th of September.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's likely all these offers you were talking about, the £200,
they
may well have all gone.
Yeah.
If somebody listens to this like days before
PyCon
UK...
Get in touch.
Get in touch. It's through Twitter at Entol. Or you actually have a web page, don't you?
Yes, we do. It's pyconuk.org/education.
Yeah.
So it's nice and obvious, and there are instructions for how to get in touch with us on that page, as well as the place where you go to actually register.
Because you did say the UK PyCon is a very welcoming thing, and if people find about this like literally last minute, they should still get in touch, and there may be some way that they can be accommodated.
Well, there's another way that they could come along, because on the Friday we have the Teachers' Day, which is all about helping teachers with Python. And that's going to be a lot of fun, because I know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to reveal it yet, because we've not kind of finally got it all nailed down. Yeah. On the Saturday, we have the Kids' Day, where we have up to 60 children turning up. Now, the kids can come along for £5 each, and for that, they get in to the conference. They have a special track where they can go. We have all the developers. We have a bunch of teachers. We have a whole bunch of activities for them. They get their lunch provided for them.
Jacket potatoes.
And jacket potatoes, exactly. It's a lot of fun. The kids that we had last year all want to come back. But the thing is that if you're an adult accompanying a child, you get in for free. So if you are a teacher and you want to bring along some kids, a handful of kids, for example,
a minibus full,
something like that.
Parents' taxis to convoy them along.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If you're in or around Coventry on the weekend of the 20th of September, then we would love to welcome you to the Kids' Day. But if you have the teacher's ticket, that's for the whole conference, which includes the famous conference dinner on the Saturday evening, which I have to say, we're having some beer brewed for us by Ben.
Ben Croston
of Fuzzy Duck Breweries. I have to say that very carefully. And it's beer brewed with code written in Python on a Raspberry Pi.
Yes.
So we have this amazing beer turning up, so you'll be able to eat, drink, and be merry with Python.
And Ben calls his microbrewing.
Yes.
But I wondered whether it should be just called microcomputer brewing.
Yes. Something like that.
The £20 microcomputer.
Yes, exactly.
And have we come up with a name for this beer yet?
There have been lots and lots of puns suggested, but no, we've not come up with a definitive name. But we do have a rather excellent designer who's involved. He's come up with some incredible designs for the... well, it's not a barrel. It's a big box that the beer will come in.
Okay.
And it's going to be splendid.
A box of beer.
And I think you've got some like 30 or 40 pints in each box. Each table in the conference dinner is going to have one of these boxes at the end of it.
Oh,
and,
right.
You know,
okay.
You're going to... It's going to be wonderful.
All hands to the pump.
Yes, exactly.
So, just to wrap up, we'll end the podcast episode So... I've been talking to Nicholas Tallerfay, who's a developer.
Python programmer,
But you're also a member of the UK Python Software Foundation. Organising committee.
Shall I tell you who I am?
Well,
So I'm Nicholas Tallerfay. I'm a professional programmer. I use Python. I used to be a teacher. And I help organise the PyCon UK conference, which is happening on the 19th to the 22nd of September of this year. We have an education track that we have great offers for teachers to attend, cheap, and we've got you covered for all sorts of things. If you want to bring kids along to the Kids Day on Saturday the 20th, that would be a wonderful thing to do as well. We have robots and all sorts of funky things happening there. We have support from lots of wonderful organisations, including the PSF, which is the international
right
organization that holds the sort of intellectual property for Python.
And I'm going to test your memory now.
Okay.
Are you the very model of a programmer Pythonical? Are you?
Oh, dear. You have me lost for words, Alan.
I believe you are the very model of a programmer Pythonical.
Yes, that was me. I'm not going to say any more because people could just look at it on the internet.
So now all that remains for us to say goodbye.
Yes, goodbye.
Bye.
Hope to see you at PyCon.